Another welcome to you, to the Highland Heights Church of Christ, to our evening worship service. It's honestly a little bittersweet because every time I get the opportunity to preach to you, I'm always thankful, but then it also means that we're a little further from having our ministers back up to full force here. So this morning, getting that message from our new minister, you know, I may be the most excited person here that we're that much closer. So you may have told that in my last couple of sermons, I'm getting a little desperate for ideas. I'm making up fake software. I'm taking inspiration from Swiss Army knives. But with God's help, we will get through this. You have to forgive me for being a little silly. But again, welcome. And tonight, let's go ahead and jump into our lesson text, if I can cut this in here. All right, so you know I always try to get some interaction from you here. So what's the difference in between the picture on the left and the picture on the right? One guy's on the island, and he's super excited because he's seeing a boat come to him. One guy's out on a little bitty boat, and he's super excited because he's finally seeing some land. What's the difference between those two guys? Perspective. I think I heard someone say it. Thank you. Perspective. Perspective is it's a powerful thing. It doesn't change what we see, but it changes how we see it. And this little cartoon came to my mind. I think I saw it in a class one time, but it came to my mind a few weeks ago. I was talking to a younger manager at work and was giving him some advice as he was dealing with a tough situation. And yeah, I have to admit, I'm a little more senior. I kind of realized that when one time a guy from work that was right out of college, maybe a year ago or something, came over to the house, and I was introducing him to my family. And I realized he was closer to Haven's age than he was my age. I kid you not, that came out of nowhere. I didn't see that happening, and I did the math in my head, and it hurt, but I've accepted it. So I was talking to this younger manager, and, you know, he was dealing with a real, real tough thing. You know how sometimes work can just get real crazy for you? Well, he was dealing with that, and I could tell he was frustrated, and he wasn't sure what to do, and the advice I gave him, or the perspective I tried to have him think about, was I said, imagine the next interview you go on and someone asks you about a time when you had to deal with this, or a time when you had to deal with something, you know, with that, and you're going to be able to answer to them and say, you know, I've got a great example. In my last role, here's what happened and here's what I did. Don't see it as a burden. See it as an opportunity. Coming from a guy who maybe has sat in a couple of interviews and has been in a situation and thought, "Ooh, no, I didn't handle that one that well. I can't use it as an example." I wanted to save him that pain and say, "What you're doing? There's no shortcut to it. We don't get to have those good answers without actually going through it." And that's a small thing. It was just a slight change of his perspective, but I think it seemed to really help him out. And I think it did two things for him. It helped him understand that what he is going through right now is temporary. He's not always going to be in this same role. It's not always going to be as crazy and chaotic as it was at that moment. And the second thing I think it did for him was it helped him see it as an opportunity. It helped him see a purpose for what he was doing. It was an opportunity for him to prove himself, to learn, to face a challenge, and to come out the other side. But then it got me to thinking about my life. And so I didn't have a gorgeous place like this to go look at and think about life, but mentally I kind of went there and I was just thinking through. I'm probably over halfway through my life and was thinking, what am I doing with it? Isn't life itself a gift from God? And what am I doing with mine? When this is over, what am I going to be able to look back and say to God that I did with the blessing that He gave me. Now, no glory would go to me because, again, it's a blessing from Him. But what am I doing with my life? What I have here physically, however good or bad, is not going to last forever. And I wanted to think through all the things that God had given me and really kind of take stock in it and see, what am I doing? I can't change the past, but I can make decisions about what I'm doing right now so that I don't find myself in another one of those interview situations where, man, I had a good opportunity, but I didn't put the work in, or I didn't have the patience to see it through. I don't want to let God down. He's designed us all with a purpose in mind. And I don't want to let Him down. I don't want to unfulfill the purpose that He has for me in my life. So tonight, I want us to think about our scripture reading, especially verse 28 there of Romans 8, and think about it with that perspective of, in our life, is if we love God, is everything working for His purpose? If so, Bible tells us it's good. If it's not, then we've got to make some decisions, and we've got to come to terms with things. But I want us to really think about that. And the implications of it, I remember maybe hearing a lesson and thinking, okay, I get it. It seems pretty simple and straightforward, that it doesn't say because we love God that everything is good for us, that everything is pleasant, that everything is great, but it says that it works to good because it's part of His purpose. And so that means if we are committed to God, we are committed in the ups and the downs. We are committed when the good things happen and when the bad things happen. And that has a real price to it. So if we're thinking about our lives, if we're doing some self-reflection, and we look at this verse and we say, yes, I still love God, I want to sign up for this, and I want to make sure enjoyable or not enjoyable, blessing or maybe trial or struggle, that I'm still going to work for His purpose, I want us to talk through that. So I need your help tonight, because I don't know your life. I don't know what blessing you might have, what good thing God has given you, someone in your life. I know some things you will have, just like me, just being blessed in a country that is so free allows us to more easily serve Him. But you may have something else more personal that you can think of. And so my plea is to think about something in your life that you consider to be a blessing, a gift from God. And then I want to talk through with you, and this is what I'll try to bring to the table. I want to talk through with you a couple of pointers, a couple of thoughts for how we get the most out of that and how we make sure that we are using our purpose for the gift He has given us for His purpose and His glory. And then, because the Bible doesn't sugarcoat stuff, and because the Bible's not a fairy tale, there are crosses that we have to bear. There are trials and heartaches that we have to go through in life. And I'll touch on this a little bit more, but you may have to think of one of those too. And I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you how great it is that you're suffering, or, like Jake's lesson this morning, I'm not going to try to give you the answer to get you through that suffering or to make it not hurt anymore. I can't do that. But I do want to kind of put them into some categories and maybe give us a little bit of perspective so that we hold on to our God and we don't let go and we don't let the trials or the heartaches or the cross that we have to bear weigh us down. So if you'll do those two things for me tonight, we're going to break them into those two categories and talk through them. That's our goals for tonight, to think about our life, to see everything in our life as a gift from God or as an opportunity from God to glorify Him or to edify His church. So you think about those things, and then we'll kind of talk through together. So let's start with the gifts and the strengths. there's a whole program out there called Strength Finders, and if you're like me, it may make you feel a little uncomfortable. You don't like, you're much more comfortable talking about your flaws or where you're weak at stuff. Like, I freely admit, I'm terrible at spelling. I'm terrible at grammar. All my kids have passed me in those respects. It's just more comfortable to talk about the things I need to work on than it is to try to say that I'm good at something. And so maybe if you're in that boat and you're like, I don't like to say I have a strength. Let's frame some things up here and understand who designed you and who gave you those strengths. And admitting that you have a strength or acknowledging that you have a strength in something doesn't make you better than anybody else. It doesn't even mean that you're the best at that particular thing. Your strength may be in serving others or in being kind. But you have to understand where it comes from, because we really can't do much if we don't start with that. Again, standing up here preaching for you tonight, certainly not the best speaker in the congregation, not even the best speaker in my family, but given the opportunity, it's something I can do, and if it helps one person become closer to God, if it brings glory to His name, then I'm happy to do it as often as I am called on. But it doesn't mean that I'm the best at it. So we have to maybe get over our own hang-ups and understand God didn't design us without the ability to serve His purpose. He loves us. If we have obeyed His word, He's given us His Spirit to dwell in us, to produce fruits according to the Spirit. And in those can be things like serving, being a good friend. So think about that. Take a second and think about what you would think one of the gifts that God has given you in your life. And maybe it's something that's a little different than that. Maybe it's a person in your life that you see as a gift. Or maybe it's something that He's blessed you with. Maybe you have a really good job, or you have a really good spouse. Whatever it is, we want to think about it. And our first step here is to acknowledge it and then to understand where it comes from. So Matthew 25, 14 through 30 is the parable of the talents. And that is a really good background for us when we're thinking about the gifts or the strengths part of it. Because in that parable, the person lends out the money in different sums to people, and then he goes away. But he expects them to do something with the talents he has given them. And it's the biblical word for talent, which is really a sum of money. But for us, we're talking about it in our use of the word talent. But the parallel is still there. He wanted them to do something with it. He gave it to them. His purpose was for them to increase it. And the five-talent person went out and doubled it. The two-talent person went out and doubled it. The one-talent person did nothing. And when that rich person came back, they were pleased with the five and the two person, and they were disappointed. They were unpleased, and they kicked the one-talent person out. Was it because he only had one talent? Was it because he wasn't as fruitful as the five-talent person? No. It was because he didn't try. He didn't even try to use his talent for God. So again, maybe a little uncomfortable, but it's so important for us to really get the most out of what God has given us to acknowledge it, to understand it, and to know that if He's given it to you, He wants you to do something with it. Our second point when thinking about gifts and strengths is try to have some sort of plan for how to use it for His purpose. Now, a couple of things here. The passage I reference in Luke 14, 27 through 33 is honestly talking more about the cost of looking forward and planning the cost of really serving Jesus. But I think it still applies here because there is a cost to serving Him. Just like with that one talent man, he was given that one talent. he was expected to do something with it. When we step up and say we want to be a Christian, we want to be with Christ, it's not a free ride. God wants us to be busy in his kingdom. God wants us to glorify him and to love other people. That takes action. And you don't have to have some kind of grand plan, but like in that conversation with the younger manager, he was starting with an end. He was starting with something that he wanted to get out of this. So he wanted to be able to, in an interview, to be able to answer a tough question and have a real example of how he had faced a challenge like that. If you've identified something that is your strength, think about the end result. When you're there with God and you're giving account for what you did with the gift of life that he gave you, how do you want to say that you used it? You used it to help people, and then you can kind of work your way backwards. Well, how can I use my gift for others? How can I glorify God with my gift? And then you can find small things, little things, just having an objective with it will make a big difference and help put it in that perspective that you know why you're doing it. You know what you want to do with it. Our third point's on gifts, and we could talk the rest of the lesson on using our gifts, whatever strengths God has given us, from a place of love. But I think Paul really summed it up well in 1 Corinthians when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write that if we could move mountains, if we could give everything that we had, but we didn't do it with love, it's empty. We could be the greatest speaker, we could be the most generous person, but if we're not doing it out of a heart that's full of love, is it going to glorify God? No. So that's kind of your check engine light, if you will. If you're trying to do what God has given you an ability or a talent to do, and you're trying to do it out of love for the Father and love for your brother, you're on the right track. If you're doing it so that people will see you, if you're doing it so that people will think highly of you, that's not coming from a place of love. The other thing that coming out of a place of love will do will help us with the thing I talked about earlier, with getting out of our own way if we are kind of worried about ourselves. You know, sometimes if you're competitive, I don't know anything about being competitive, but so I've heard, if you're competitive, you don't want to do something unless you can win. And that doesn't always line up with love, because see, love will always keep things in check. Love doesn't seek out its own. Love isn't puffed up. Love isn't vain. And again, going back, if that one talent guy had only turned in two talents, if he'd only turned in one and a half talent, if he had just tried his best, he would have been accepted. You may not be the best at something, but if it's the talent that God has given you, then use it for him. Coming from a place of love, and God will be pleased. That's what he put us here to do. I think 1 Timothy 1:5 is just a beautiful verse that kind of sums it up. We, as Christians, we have a charge. We have a duty here on this earth. And 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "But the end charge is love, out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned." That's what we want to do with our life. And so with whatever part of your life you're thinking about that you feel like God has given you a certain ability and a way to help others and a way to show your love, that's what we want to do. It needs to come from a pure place, and it's really a beautiful thing. Now, before we switch to the trials or the crosses that we have to bear, just please let me stop and reiterate. If you are in the middle of a trial, if you are in the middle of a heartache, I'm not trying to tell you how to get over it. It's a very serious subject. I'm going to try to share some stuff with you from my own life, but it doesn't mean that it makes your pain any less real. So I want to be really, really clear on that. I just want to try to give us a little bit of perspective for the times maybe that we're not in the trial. Maybe that's the right time to hear it. Maybe you just kind of store it away, and when you're through this thing, you think about it, and it better prepares you for the next one. Again, I don't want to seem insensitive or to belittle anyone's pain or what they're going through, but I feel like we do have to address it because it's part of life. Heartache is part of life. So let's go together with that. Let's think about something maybe that we are going through. Maybe it's a person in your life. Maybe it's a relationship that is really wearing you down, that is really making things tough on you. If you're human, you've been through that at some point and in varying degrees. The thing we don't want to do is just get lost out at sea with that. And all we can see is pain, and we can't think about the end. We want to still know that God is in control. And so we want to kind of break them down into three categories here and see if we can find a way, again, not to get through the pain faster, not to have God take the cross away because that may not be part of his plan, but just as words of comfort and a little bit of perspective to make sure that we continue to hold on to our Savior. So in preparing for this lesson and thinking through these types of situations, I could come up with three kind of simple categories to put them in. And so maybe the thing you're thinking about in your life that is a cross to bear, that is a struggle, will fit in one of these three, and maybe something I say will be helpful to you. That is my prayer and aim with this. The first category that I would put them in, I would call like a thorn in the flesh type category. And Paul's the example of this in 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 10. He tells them that to keep him from being too proud, to keep him humble, he was given that thorn in the flesh. And good old Paul, he prayed for it to go away three times, and when it didn't, he still had the right attitude, and he still thanked God for it. Again, it's tough, but if you think about it, it makes sense. Didn't our parents do things for us that weren't pleasant, but they did it for our own benefit, to keep us humble, to help us better understand things? Don't we do that to our own children? So here's where I'll try to tell a story. Again, just from my life, and I'll be the first to admit that, you know, I think God knows the people that, with the art that he is making, can handle more heartache, and he knows that I'm not tough and I can't handle much, so I've had a really blessed life. But I'll share with you, and maybe if you've been in one of my classes, you've heard this, so if you have, just bear with me, but I'll share with you a thorn that I had to carry for just a little while, but it was painful and it stayed with me, and I would never want to go through it again, but I am thankful for the outcome that I believe it produced. So this was 2007, and Holly and I are expecting our first child, and we're like seven, 8 weeks in. I'm at work in a training class, and, you know, I'm still trying to build my career, so, I want to stay in that training class and do the best job that I possibly can. But Holly calls, and I can tell she's upset. And she's having some problems. And she says, you know, I think we need to go to the doctor. It's like, okay, we can do this. I'll be right there. So I hang up the phone, and not having had a child, not having been through anything like that, I have no idea what's going on. After four births that I've been, you know, there for, I'm like an honorary midwife. I got some experience, but 2007, I had no experience, completely clueless. So I call Zilla, which I think most of you know that's what I call my mom Zilla. I call Zilla and ask her, can you give me some insight? Can you help me out here? And she tells me to prepare for the worst. And I cried the entire way down Interstate 24 from Nashville to Murfreesboro. But again, my life has been really blessed, because when we got there, everything was okay. In fact, she's still here tonight. But for that brief moment, that thorn in the flesh, I prayed God would take it away. I prayed that it would not be the worst case scenario. But in that moment, He broke me and He humbled me. And I don't think I would be the dad that I am today if I hadn't gone through that. So sometimes we need those thorns in the flesh to keep us on track. I'm not saying I'm a world-class dad now, but I know that after going through that and understanding I didn't give her life, I can't control what happens, but my God can. I know that all my children are His children. And it changed my perspective. I think that's what was happening for Paul. Did Paul wish he could have the same humility without the thorn in the flesh? Guarantee you, he would sign up for that deal in a heartbeat. But that wasn't the deal that he had. So Paul would rather have that thorn in the flesh to stay right with God, to help him not be too proud. So maybe that thing that you're struggling with, that you're dealing with, maybe it's one of those type situations where it's keeping us from being too proud. It's keeping us from trusting too much on ourselves, leaning too much on who we are. And if it keeps us connected to God, then so be it. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's an opportunity for others type category. So that seems a little odd, but let me use a biblical example for you here. John chapter 9. Christ is in His earthly ministry, and there's a man that's born blind. And he's become a beggar in the town. And we know how the story goes. Christ is there. They say, did he sin? Did his parents sin? Christ says, it wasn't that. This man is here in the condition he is so that you will know and believe. And then Christ heals him. And it turns into a really big deal. You know, you think our political climate is bad? I don't think it's anything new. You had them investigating, launching a, you know, an investigation into this conspiracy, into this event that happened to try to find out. And they talk to the poor guy and they're like, how long have you been blind? He's like, all my life. And he's like, well, how did this guy heal you? And it just goes back and forth and it blows up into this big thing. But what I want you to think about, we know the story. We know how it turned out for him, that he got his sight back, that it became an example to others of who this man from Nazareth really was and what he could do. But think about every day of that man's life up until the point where that happened. It had to be pretty terrible. Think about his poor parents. I mean, they were still there in the town, but he was a beggar. Either they were hard-hearted or maybe they just couldn't afford to support a son that had been born blind. It's a real situation. He really had to live that way for whatever, 20, 30 years. But it was an opportunity for somebody else to do something to bring glory to God. And sometimes our terrible thing that maybe we are dealing with, the cross that we have to bear, is an opportunity for somebody else to step in and to show some love and some kindness and some goodness, to show the Father's love. And that's tough because that means we have to be hurting. But I think there's biblical evidence that can sometimes be the case. Now, what does that mean for us if we're the ones that are hurting? If we're the blind man in this situation, we have to be humble enough to take that help. Because imagine if the blind guy, you know, if Jesus started messing with him, he's like, no, I don't want your help. I don't want your help. I'm too proud. think of the opportunity that man would have missed. So sometimes when we're hurting, sometimes what we need is someone else to be there for us, to let their light shine, to do something good. Then we're going to get to the third category. And this one's even tougher. All of these are tough. I'm telling you, this was not the easiest thing. At like 5 o'clock, I was thinking about scrapping this whole section and saying, I'm just going to focus on the positive thing because I don't think I can do this. It's too emotional. But the third category, I'm going to call the brightest in the dark category. We got to go to Job there. Think about Job's life. If Job had just lost his job, that's a terrible thing. Our heart would have gone out to Job. It would have been bad. Would we hear lesson after lesson on Job? Would Job be a testament to basically every person that's ever lived and that has heard his story for his faith? No. No. The more the devil attacked him, the more pain and sorrow he rained down on Job, the more darkness he brought into Job's life, the brighter Job's light shone to others. I'm not telling you that's the deal you want to sign up for. It may be the deal that you're in. It may be the situation that you were in. And so we got to think about the way that Job was able to hold on, the way that Job was able to keep his faith and to continue to serve God after terrible thing after terrible thing after terrible thing happened to him. And look at the legacy that he left behind and the glory that he brought to God, because we know ultimately it wasn't Job that made it, you know, that pulled himself through that. It was his faith in God. It was because he believed who God is. So maybe that's the situation that you're in tonight. And that's a tough situation, and I don't have the easy answer for it. But just know that as folks will see your life and they see maybe the hardship that you've had to live through and the way you do that as a child of God and keeping your faith in Him, You're maybe it's a difficult relationship you're in, and you're so tempted to be drugged down to their level, but you stay on that high road. It may not make your life easier, but it may be setting a tremendous example to somebody else. Again, none of these are easy situations, and I don't expect that anything I've said tonight would make them hurt less. But I hope you see that again, there's at least a purpose to them. And even if Job's life didn't get repaired in this world, with his faith in God, we know what reward he had waiting for him. So I said we only had two goals. I'm going to sneak in a third goal. And our third goal is to think about the most precious gift that any of us have ever been given. And that's the gift of a Savior. And you want to talk about a cross to bear? You want to talk about His light shining the brightest when things were dark? His Father, who He was one with, had to turn His back on Him. Had to leave Him to an angry mob of people that spat on Him and struck Him and cursed Him. But He endured that because His focus was on bringing glory to God. His focus was on edifying the church, because He knew if He went through that His blood could cleanse us from our sins. Without Him doing that, we're hopeless. So, if you have not acknowledged who Jesus is, if you have not put your faith in Him and repented of your ways and put on Christ in baptism to have your sins washed away, calling on His name, you're wasting the biggest gift. And you want to put that in perspective? When this life is over and you look back, you're the person with the one talent that did nothing. God gave you his son and you did nothing with it. I can't think of anything more tragic. And tonight's the opportunity to make that right. And maybe if you're not in that shape, maybe you're feeling like you've neglected a gift that he's given you. You're a very caring person and you've been a little focused on yourself. Or you're really good at listening to people, but you just haven't made the time to do it. Maybe if you're neglecting one of those gifts, or maybe if you're in those struggles and there's no shame in having a cross to bear or being in a real trial, but maybe you haven't had that same fortitude that Job did and you just want prayers for encouragement and prayers to make it through however long that trial endures. Whatever your need is tonight, the answer is Christ. And we'd be happy to do whatever we could to help you while we stand and sing.